Welcome to Field Notes, spotlighting people working to protect our natural world, with Thane Maynard from 91.7 WVXU.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.
Well, I'm excited because my guest is Jerry Hay. And Jerry, I have your new book and have had a chance to read it, Rivers Revealed. Tell me a little bit about what was the idea that got you to write such an extensive book about America's waterways.
Well, the book sort of evolved over the years. I started this project about 10 years ago, actually. And I took notes when I was traveling on the rivers, and I was compiling these into journals. And I was inspired by other people that I should put this into a book form. And it started out to be more of a practical guide to traveling rivers, but it sort of evolved into a lot more of a storybook also, because I kept throwing in some of my own adventures and anecdotes and things. And so it did change into something different. But I guess the single word would be just evolved into what it is now. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Well, I know I've seen you on some PBS documentaries and National Geographic. So, you know, your involvement with rivers is both extensive and longstanding. The thing I'm so interested about, and when I read your book, is that historically, America was literally settled along our river system. And today, with the interstate highways and air traffic, sometimes people forget that. But it's not just a history, but it still today is vital, in fact, to places like where I live and where you live along the Ohio River.
Oh, absolutely. The river system is still very important. And you're right that most villages and towns, as a matter of fact, almost all major cities are settled along some waterway. And they did that because of that system. The waterway was the highways in the day, and the way they transported heavy objects and lots of people. And so there still is a lot of that out there, but nothing like it used to be because, like you mentioned, the rails and the highways and the trains have changed that somewhat. And some people do forget that, though, because it's something that's, one of my favorite phrases is beyond the bridges. You know, people cross these bridges every day, millions of people do, and may glance over and see water, but they don't really realize what life is like out on the river. It's kind of a mysterious place for a lot of people.
Well, I certainly know that in many communities, and Cincinnati, Ohio is one of them, there's a great resurgence of interest in the river. Here on the Ohio River, I've lived here a long time, and people did used to relatively ignore it, but I think everybody from developers who want to build upscale homes and developments, all the way to people interested in wildlife and conservation, folks are catching on that this river system is vital to us.
That's true. Yes. And the other good news to that is, in the past 30 years, the rivers are getting cleaner. And a lot of that's due to the Clean Water Act of 1973. And since then, there's been a lot of environmental groups and a lot of other good legislation that's caused these rivers to get actually better than they used to be, which is one of the few environmental success stories we have. And it still has a way to go, but we are going in the right direction in the rivers. So I'm really pleased about that. And the river, Ohio River, is a beautiful river. It's some people call it the working man's river or the blue collar river because there's a lot of commercial traffic out there. But it's also what I call user friendly. It's a place where you could really go out and enjoy that river. It's a beautiful place.
Well, there are a couple of parts of that are good news when you think about the Ohio. One is where I live in Cincinnati, we get our water from the Ohio River, and there are many people that are flabbergasted when they hear that. Naturally, it goes through extensive treatment plants before we drink it, but also it is an indicator that the river's getting cleaner. And for me as a naturalist, I know a thing that shows that is that for the first time in the past 50 years, in this stretch of the river, have there been bald eagles nesting right on the Ohio. Historically, they did, of course, but they're back in Brown County, down by a power plant and water source right there on the river itself. And once that started, we hope there'll be more bald eagles headed right this way toward the city.
Well, the eagles are a really good sign because they have to have clean water and good conditions. And I've made that observation myself from growing up on the Wabash River in Terre Haute. When I was a kid, that was a cesspool of a river. And now I have a cabin up there on that river, and now I sit on my dock and catch bass and watch eagles hunt. It's a beautiful place. So, yes, we are going the right direction on that.
Yeah, that is certainly a hopeful sign. It reminds me that over 30 years ago, I spent a summer working on the Hudson River. I volunteered on the Sloop Clearwater, that group that Pete Seeger started in the 60s. And by the mid-70s, I spent really a magical summer up there sailing up and down on one of those tall-masted sloops that was built just like the ones that they used in the 17th and 18th century.
I'm sure that was a great experience. Yeah.
Well, the Hudson's a lot cleaner than it was, as you said, as is the Wabash and the Ohio. Tell us a little bit about your stretch of the river. You live down in southern Indiana?
Yes, Floyd's Knob, just across the river from Louisville, near New Albany. And so we're right at the falls of the Ohio, and so with the McAlpine Lock here. So we have the pool below it and above it. So for traveling the rivers, you know, you have the lock here. And, of course, between here and Cincinnati, we have the Markland Lock, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great stretch of river because here you have two different rivers. Above McAlpine Lock, there's a lot of recreational boating. Was on a lot of marinas, and below McAlpine, it gets very remote. Suddenly, it's a different-looking river when you get down there below the falls, below the dam here. So just depends on what you want to see, whether you go upriver or downriver from here.
Well, here in the Cincinnati area, most of our listeners are familiar with a thing that we do called Paddle Fest, and that's organized by my good friend Brewster Rhodes. He helped organize a sustaining group called Ohio River Way, and I'll tell you what, thousands of people are involved and get down to the river that never would have before. It happened last weekend, and they paddle, they kayak, they have races, they have fun. It's a two-day event, and certainly has gotten bigger and bigger. How about other areas? Are you familiar with other festivals or programs that would be worth retelling the story of what that's like along rivers?
Yeah, there are actually several. Louisville actually has quite a few festivals of its going on, but I don't think there's any paddle fest in the country quite as big as that one in Cincinnati.
That's great.
That's the premier paddle fest. I've never seen anything like that many paddlers with canoes and kayaks out there at one time. And it's a beautiful sight. You see that much enthusiasm and people using the river and a lot more public awareness of that river and what it's like out there. So those are all good things, but and a lot of the communities along the Ohio River, particularly, have made a lot of improvements, and they're making their riverfront more river-friendly, I call it, and those are also great things. There are still cities who have turned their back on the river, and many of the cities did years ago, but that's changing also, and how much interest there is locally will have a lot to do with what a riverfront's like in that area, and the activities like that Paddle Fest. Because you have to have an accessible river to be able to do that.
Well, absolutely, because among other things, it is a chance to slow down and go at the pace of the river, which is, of course, actually the pace we were built to go, not the way we go on superhighways or through airports. Now, I do have to ask you this, and you could imagine, I in reading your book, saw your top 10 river towns, and it's not surprising to me you'd put Louisville, Kentucky, because you're right there in that region. And as I go through, I see towns and different rivers, of course, Clifton, Tennessee, Natchez, Mississippi. I've been to a lot of these places, but it seems like there must be some sort of omission, Jerry, because the only Ohio town I see is Marietta, and there's not a single mention of what I'd call Cincinnati, Ohio. What happened to us?
Well, my personal experiences has a lot to do with it. And by the way, that was written before I moved to this area.
Oh, there you go.
Louisville was written before. I was still up in Terre Haute at that time, so I've been here about 3 years. Cincinnati is a great river town. There's a lot of history to it. In fact, the Delta Queen steamboats in the Delta Queen, that was used to be its home port. And you've got Mary Green was from Cincinnati, and there's a lot of river heritage there. A lot of it has to do with and actually there's a lot of improvements going on in the Cincinnati area that's being helpful for boaters and that sort of thing. But if you'll read the rest of that chapter, the end of that chapter, a lot of my feelings about these towns are some of the people I meet and how helpful and friendly it's been. Generally, the larger cities are not as helpful as smaller towns, and mm-hmm. I even say that about Louisville. Well, even for a big city, it sort of has a small-town attitude to it in the way it's handled down there. And so I can't say why I didn't include Cincinnati. I just didn't, when I was thinking about those, my experiences, and I kind of think about, well, what was my experience there like? And actually, my only real experience in Cincinnati has been aboard the steamboats.
Oh, there you go. And you've probably been here when we have Tall Stacks. That's a lot of fun.
Tall Stacks, and we've stopped there a lot with working on the Delta Queen steamboats as a River Laurie, and I've been there quite a few times. But generally, we don't get a chance to get off the boat. We're busy working.
Well, we've got a solution for this for your next book. We'll have you come up to Cincinnati. We'll get together with Brewster Rhodes. We'll do a little paddling. We'll even visit the Cincinnati Zoo where I work, and I'll make sure we make the top 10 best towns on your next book.
Well, that sounds like a good thing to do, yes.
Well, listen, Jerry, you've been a lot of fun to talk to. I recommend this book to anyone. My guest has been Jerry Hay. He is author of the new book, Rivers Revealed. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.